First of all, I'm thrilled that you're here. And what we're going to be talking about today is how to get what you want. And we're going to need, I think, some tech people here if this mic keeps doing it. So welcome, everybody. And for those of you in the doorway, come on in. Shove your way in. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. So I wanted to tell you a quick story because it just kind of points to the crazy way that life works. So as you heard, I have a lot of things going on in my life, plus I have three kids. They're 12, 11, and 6. And I have a husband who I've been married to for 15 years, and he's absolutely panic-stricken right now because he can't. I've been gone for 3 days, and he can't figure out who's supposed to be where today. What is it about guys that the second you leave the house, even though they're in it, they cannot do what you just did? I even wrote the thing out, like, in a Sharpie, where everybody needed to be. So I wanted to tell you this quick story. I had the good fortune, let's do this. Screw this thing. Can you hear me? Is that better? All right, let's take this sucker off. Hold on. Now I'm going to strip for you. I know you didn't pay for that, but... Okay, so I had the good fortune of getting to interview Donald Trump a couple years ago in Trump Towers in the Atrium Plaza of, you know, in Fifth Avenue. And so right before we had set up the sound stage and I was going to interview Donald Trump. Keep coming in, everybody. Make room for everyone else. And right before we were about to start filming, there's a couple thousand people there. Oh my God, I'm going to meet Donald Trump. They say to me, Mr. Trump is called and he would like to meet you before the interview. And I'm thinking, oh my God, okay. So I go over to those elevators, just like on The Apprentice, and there's the guys with the white gloves and the long tails, and my heart's doing one of these things, and I'm freaking out, and I'm saying to myself, okay, don't blow this, what do I want? And I said to myself, what I want is I want Mr. Trump to think that I am professional, that I am intelligent, and that I have got it going on. And so as I'm standing in the elevator going up to like the 15th floor having a panic attack about the fact that I'm about to meet Donald Trump, I keep saying to myself, okay, professional, intelligent, got it going on. Professional, intelligent, got it going on. That's what I want. That's what I'm going to be. So I walk in and there's Rona who sits at that round desk just like on television. And I walk up and I introduce myself and then Mr. Trump comes out and it was this flurry and he says, come on, let's go into the office. And yes, the hair is very strange up close. And so I get into the office, and we sit down, and we have a small chat, and all of a sudden the phone rings, and he says, all right, it's time. We got to go downstairs. And what I was going to be doing was interviewing him before a live audience on television for the release of his book, Think Big and Kick Ass in Business and Life. So he says, but before we go down, there's something you need to see. And I said, okay. And he said, you need to see my bathroom. And so now I'm sitting in his office, and he says, yeah, like my bathroom is back in the corner, so it's right in his office. It's an executive bathroom. And he says, because your false eyelashes come off, and it's saluting me. So I'm thinking, this is not what I want, you know? And I'm thinking, okay, smart, intelligent, got it going on. And I'm like kind of back up and do one of these things. And then I get into his bathroom, and there is, first of all, it's gold and black marble. And the lighting was worse than it is in here right now. Yes, come in, sit down, we're happy you're here. And I see that I've got this eyelash like this attached to my eyebrow. So I pull it off, and what's left is a black mark like a skunk stripe down the left-hand side of my face. And so I'm like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? And he's got three MAC cosmetic compacts. I opened them all up. They were not what I needed. He had nothing else in there. So I took toilet paper and put it under the water and started wetting it and scrubbing, which turned into paper mache on my eyelash. And so I thought, oh my God, this is not going how I thought it was going to go. Oh my God. This is the first thing. In life, you are going to be doing whatever it is that you're doing, and you know what's going to happen. And in those moments, the difference between people that get what they want and people that feel like they're constantly behind the eight ball, constantly reacting. Hey, can you keep those doors open for us? Because we want the lights to come in from the hallway, too. Thank you. And to make sure that people are welcome to come in. And so stuff will happen to you. And in those moments, what the difference is between people that have control over their lives and who are successful and happy and productive is whether or not in those moments you become emotional and you start thinking with your emotions, or you become strategic and you start thinking about what you want. Can you leave those doors open so we can get the light from the hallway? Thank you very much. So what we're going to be talking today, and so what ended up happening, of course, is I said, screw it. I'm just totally screwed. There's a makeup person down there. What I'll do is we'll get downstairs. I'll find the makeup person. She'll quickly take care of the black sludge that my eyeball now is and scrape the paper mache off. And so we get into the elevator, and I'm like this the whole time, you know, kind of being very weird with Donald Trump and the guy with the white gloves. We go all the way down. The doors open up. There's 1,000 people there. They all have these, like, plastic things. They're banging. They see Donald Trump. They're like, Trump, 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 Trump. And so Donald grabs me by the arm. I see the makeup lady, and it was like one of those slow motion, kind of pointing at the eye. She's there with the brushes, and he's like, let's go. And he whisks me up on stage. And so what I did is I didn't get emotional. I got strategic, and I thought, what I have to do is cut in front of him and steal his seat. Because if I do that, the skunk eye will not be camera side. Thinking strategic. Okay, so this is where I want to start today. I want to start with Steve Jobs. So obviously in the last 72 days, Kim Kardashian has gotten divorced, which I know broke all your hearts. And Steve Jobs passed away. And I'm sure many of you in this room have seen the commencement address that he gave at Stanford University. And he talks about three life lessons. And the one for our purposes that's interesting to me that I want you to focus on is number two, where he talks about the fact that when you're failing or when something bad happens to you, oftentimes it's the best thing that could possibly happen. So I know in speaking to some of you that some of you are thinking about going into the workforce after 24 years of not working. Some of you have just survived cancer and now are trying to figure out what to do. Some of you are feeling as though you're about to get divorced and you're scared to death. And so what Steve Jobs said is, you know, imagine this. He starts a company, Apple, and then gets fired from it. And so he thinks his life is over. And interestingly, years later when he could look back, he can now say that that was the best thing that ever happened to him. Because if that change hadn't been forced on him, he never would have started Pixar. He never would have taken the time off to meet his wife. And he never would have been hired back when his new company was acquired by Apple. So for those of you that are here because you're either seeking reinvention or life has kicked you in the gut, I want you to understand something. There's a reason why it happened, and it may not be entirely apparent right now, but it will be. And what I'm going to be talking about is the fact that each and every one of you has the ability to have whatever you want. And I don't say that as some sort of cheesy, fluffy, Pollyanna, stupid-ass thing that you don't believe. I'm going to prove it to you. And he is a guy that affected everybody because he did one thing. He knew what he wanted. He wanted to spend his life inventing things. He wanted to be curious. And that's what drove him. And a lot of us look at somebody like Steve Jobs and say, oh my gosh, you know, I'd like to make a difference like that. Well, I want you to understand each and every one of you is just like this guy. In fact, you are one very cool person. I'm looking for someone. Do you know that scientists have crunched the numbers? I'm going to come up here because people in the back think they're hiding. Scientists have crunched the numbers on the odds. Melinda, stand up. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. We've got Melinda. Can you give her a round of applause because she's terrified? Come on in, everyone. Come on in. So, Melinda, scientists have crunched the numbers on the odds of you being born. And when I say the odds of you being born, I mean, if you take into account the entire history of time. Every war, every famine, every natural disaster. And you consider the odds of you, Melinda, being born at the exact moment in time that you were born to the parents you have with the DNA structure that you've got. What do you think the odds are? Like a high.
One in a million.
One in a million? One in 400 trillion. You know what that makes you? Yes. Yes, it makes you a miracle. Will you guys give Melinda a round of applause? So, the reason why I'm telling you this is because each and every one of you are one in 400 trillion. So you know all those ideas you got? The ones that start with, you know, I should. You know, I really want to. You know, it'd be kind of cool if I... You have those thoughts for a reason. And it's not because they're supposed to torture you. You have them because it's your biological imperative to do something interesting with the fact that you are one in 400 trillion cool, baby. You got it? Good. So, the other thing I want you to understand is that we live in a very different moment of time. 10 years ago, this wasn't true. This wasn't true for our mothers. It wasn't true for our grandmothers. It wasn't even true for some of our older sisters. Right now, you live in a moment of time where you have everything you need. I mean everything to get what you want. For any kind of change you want to make in your life, you want to start a business, you want to lose weight, you want to have... what's that called? Trantic sex, you know, for hours. You want, like, whatever you want to do. You want to learn how to wax yourself. I don't care. You have the technology. You can walk into a bookstore and buy at least a dozen books written by credentialed experts that will guide you through the step-by-step process. You can Google the topic and probably find 1,000 blogs that document the day-by-day-by-day transformation of how the hell you do that thing that you've been thinking about for years. And you can cyberstalk people, so you can find people that are doing what you would like to do, and then you can copy what they're doing. So given the fact that you have the tools to start a business with no money, you have the ability to connect with anybody on the planet. Yeah, come on in. Everybody, make room for everybody else. You can sit on the floor. I don't care. You have the ability. You've got the information you need. And you're one in 400 trillion cool. I got a question. Why is it that the first decision you made this morning, go back to bed. Yeah, the alarm rings. I think I'll just go back to sleep. It's the first decision of my day. I get it. Life is hard, right? You do everything for everyone. You're last on the list. You haven't had a wax in a decade. I know. Me too. I'm wearing pants because I haven't shaved my legs in a while. And I forgot my belt when I was with Anderson Cooper on Monday. I left it as a souvenir. No, I'm just kidding. He's actually as cute in person as he is on television. But I get it. I get that life is very, very tough. And, you know, I do have some good news because there is this in the market. They're trying to make it... They're kind of hung up in the name... So, you know, at some point this will be there, so you can just pop one of those in the morning. But, you know, since we don't have that right now, what I want to explain is why life feels so hard. And I also want to explain what's actually happening. You're not an idiot. You're not lazy. You're not stupid. What's happening is your own brain is working against you. Our brain is a very amazing machine. And anybody that's a neuroscientist in here, forgive me, because I'm going to like dumb this down for my sake. But basically what you've got is a high processor that if you're walking down the street or you walk into the kitchen and you see your teenager, within 33 milliseconds, you can tell whether or not she's menstruating, right? That's how fast your brain processes facial expressions and body language. Here's the problem with your brain. What scientists in the last decade have figured out starting with Dr. Barry Schwartz of the Harvard Medical School. He wrote a book called The Paradox of Choice, which basically explains that there's too much choice today. And what happens with your mind when there's too much choice is it makes no choice at all. They've done this in study after study after study. Average grocery store has 271 different types of cereal in an aisle. So does it surprise you that you pick the same three each time? No. Well, that's because it requires your mind to think and process, and your mind doesn't want to do that. And the reason why I can't do that is because life is so crazy busy. And that's partially because of technology. Most of you, if you're working part-time or full-time, when you get home, you probably still have 23 emails to go through and 3 hours worth of carpool driving and kids' homework to supervise and, you know, like on and on and on. And so on top of that, there's just too much damn information. 500 channels on your television set. How many different emails and texts do you get a day? What your brain is like is, oh, good. Okay, so this is your brain, right? So here's your brain. And I think this is full. Let's see. So I'm going to pour water in here. Now, first I'm going to... So this is your brain, right? Those are the emails, the texts, all the crap you have to remember, the photo albums that you plan on putting together at some point. You wake up every morning and your mind already looks like this. So when more information comes in, you can't process it. And so what's actually happening for you? And then on top of it, look at the news. There's so much uncertainty with unemployment at 9%. And if you've got kids that are part of the 95% of college kids, come on in, there's seats, come on in or sit on the floor, welcome. If you're one of the families that has one of the 95% of college graduates moving home, and you realize that their job market's 18% unemployment, there's so much uncertainty out there that what's happening is your mind is actually shutting down. This is what you need to know today. Your brain has two modes. Only two. That's it. It has cruise control, and it has emergency brake. Let me explain how this works. Your brain loves cruise control because it doesn't have to work too hard. And we already know that it's got 271 serials to process and all these emails and everything else, and so it doesn't want to work very hard. We already know that it's already completely full of all kinds of stuff that you need to remember and things that you don't. So any chance that your mind can jump you into cruise control, it will. How many of you drive to work in the morning and you get there and you think, oh my God, who drove the car? Right? That is your mind on cruise control. You drove the car. You just didn't have to think about it very hard. But you were thinking. It was just operating at a lower level because you've done it so many times. So here's what's happening for you in 2011. What's happening is modern life is tweaking your brain so much that your mind is dying for a routine that it can check out on, just like the drive to work in the morning. So is it any wonder to you that you wake up at the same time every morning, you hit the snooze alarm at least two or three times, then you get up, you have one of, what, two breakfasts, the Greek yogurt or the oatmeal? You then, pack lunches, you get everybody off, you leave the house at the same time, you stop for coffee at the same place, you take your coffee at exactly the same way every time, heaven forbid you try it differently. Then you get to work, you check Facebook, you do a little online shopping, then you check your emails. Yep, you look busy, I do too. And then you go to lunch, what do you have? The salad with the protein on top, or perhaps a sandwich of some kind, and it's the same thing you eat every day, and then you, all afternoon, you kind of do a little PowerPoint, you update Facebook again, you do a little more shopping, you look busy, and then you drive home, you leave work at largely the same time, you then shuttle kids around, or you do whatever you do, and then you eat, what, the same three dinner choices pretty much with the same damn people you see every single night, having the same conversations, and then you watch largely the same kind of program every single night on television, and then you climb into bed and say the same thing to the person next to you, not tonight. Yeah, me too. So, here's the way it works. I gotta take a sip. So what happens is that anytime you have one of those 1 in 400 trillion thoughts, you know, I should really start a catering company. I should really write my family's story and self-publish that book. I should really walk into my boss's office and say, since you fired half the staff and I'm now doing 15 people's jobs, it's time for a friggin' raise. Right? Anytime you have any kind of thought that is different from your normal routine, where your brain is on cruise control, your mind will throw the emergency brake on it. It will. Because it doesn't want you to do that. What? Oh, Jesus. Okay. Okay. This isn't even... Oh, my God. Somebody go get... What's her name? You know what? This is not my computer. Will you do me a favor? Go get Danielle, who ran the conference. Yeah, this is not my computer. Somebody, will you go get Danielle? Because we need a power cord. See? Things are not going to go as planned in life. And I'm either going to get emotional and start sweating more, or I'm going to think strategically and think, I got this. I got this. So the thing is that your mind is going to throw the emergency brake in five ways. This is very important for you to understand, okay? This, moving forward, if one of these five things ever happens to you again, it is a trick. It is a red flag. It is not real. If you ever feel overwhelmed, remember your brain is full, right? And what happens when your brain is full and you go to walk into the kitchen to get some milk? I think you're going to have to go to the speaker's line. Oh, we got it. Look at Simone. If you can survive 18 hours in an ocean, yes, I think she can get a power cord, right? Thank you. So, you know, if your mind is already full, right? This happens to me every damn day. One of my kids says, can I have some orange juice? And I say, sure. And I take two steps towards the fridge. And now they're trying to say, orange juice, mom. Because I've completely forgotten. Oh, there we go. I've completely forgotten what I've walked in there for. So the first thing is when you feel overwhelmed. What that's a signal of is your brain is full. So instead of going about your day and pouring more in your brain, which only makes it do that. I know they're going to kill me. Oh, well. What you're going to do is a little technique that I love. You're going to do what I call a brain dump. I do these twice a day. You're going to take out a pad of paper, and you're going to take everything in your mind. You're going to pour it out. I got to call the bank and cancel that check. I got to get the dog a shot. I got to organize the photo albums. I got to finish the PowerPoint. Oh, yeah, I got to call the coach and talk to him about the positioning of the team. Oh, yeah, I got to get a wax. I got to figure out the birthdays calendar for next year. Because guess what? If you take the time to dump it out, and it doesn't look good. This is not an art project. You just puke it on the page. And it'll take at least 3 or 4 minutes. And then what you do is you take a highlighter and you highlight the top three things that you need to do today. And you forget about everything else because it'll come back. And what's great is now you can move through your day and you've got a brain that actually can take in information. The next one is something called, it's when you, I guess this isn't working at all. So the next one is when you feel tired. I know you're yawning, you're not actually tired. Yes, you're not tired. Okay, you just need oxygen. Okay. So if you say to yourself, oh, I feel too tired to go to the networking meeting. I feel too tired to go to the gym. That's BS. That's your brain trying to throw the emergency brake on an idea that falls outside your routine. There's something that neuroscientists call, they call it the governor's theory. And they use it to explain how a professional athlete or somebody that's stuck in the ocean for 18 hours treading water can not get tired. Don't you ever wonder, how do these dudes in the Tour de France cycle up those mountains for so long? Their quadriceps must be screaming. They are. But when you use the governor's theory, you get out of your head and above the situation so you can govern from above. I call this Google Earth. So if you ever feel tired, Google Earth yourself. Get out of the situation and push yourself forward. If you ever feel alone, like that's another one. If you ever feel alone, you're going to do what I call the eye contact test. We're going to do this right now. So basically, the eye contact test or game, whatever you want to call it, is you're going to walk down the street Because you're not alone. There's, what, is it 7 billion people on the planet now? You're going to walk down the street, you're going to find three strangers. Cute ones are better, especially if you're single. And you're going to look at them in the eye and flash a smile. Now, what I'm going to have you do is you're going to turn to the person next to you right now, and if for some reason they're not, go to somebody in front or behind you. That's right, do it. Don't talk. Don't talk. Turn to somebody next to you. Don't talk, don't talk, don't talk. Okay, the person with the shortest hair. I want you to flash your biggest, toothiest grin and look them right in the eye. Okay, now, you know what just happened? The reason why you're all laughing is because by looking in someone's eyes and firing a smile, you just activated what's called mirror neurons in your brain. Mirror neurons are the same thing that when somebody cuts themselves, you know, cutting a cantaloupe, and you're like, oh, and you think you cut yourself too. So here's the thing that's cool. You have superpowers. You have the ability to look someone in the eye and change their mood. And if you do this just 3 times a day, that's all I'm asking for, a measly 3 times a day, you know what happens? You start to realize, holy cow, this is amazing. What are you doing? Is it up? Go get, that's right. Well, go get somebody. Go get Danielle, it's her computer. It's absolutely amazing. Amazing, because what happens is it subconsciously tells you that you have the power to affect somebody else, which then raises your level of confidence in amazing ways. So that 3 weeks from now, when you walk into an interview, if you've been doing the eye contact game, you absolutely positively will feel more confident. So I've covered overwhelmed, I've covered tired, I'd cover alone, feeling like a fraud. Anybody that's starting a new venture. So if you've been laid off and now you think you're going to consult, or, and I don't mean that, it sounded sort of sarcastic, that's not what I meant. If you've been laid off and now you're like, okay, I'm going to consult now, what's going to happen when you start anything new is there's a period of time where you're going to feel like a fraud. You're going to feel like people don't, are people going to find out that I'm actually making these cakes that I'm selling at the farmer's market in my kitchen? Oh my God, I can't let that happen. Are people going to find out that I've spent 13 years working, giving advice for a company on logistics, and now I'm going to do it as a consultant? Are they going to learn that I don't know what I'm doing? Oh, my God. That's normal. It doesn't mean you're a loser. It means that you're beginning. And there's only one way to deal with it. Just keep going. And dress the part. You know, when I was interviewing Donald Trump, I asked him how he got started, and he said, well, it was interesting, when I graduated from Wharton, I spent money on one of the best suits I could find, because if I had a good suit and I looked the part, then I would start to feel it. And so whatever it is that you want, you need to start acting like it, and you're never, ever, ever, ever gonna feel comfortable in it. That's what change is like. End of story. So, you know, the thing is that I really believe that the thing that drives all of us is our selfish desires. Okay? So in a minute, I want you to start thinking about what you want. I was talking to the women from AT&T this morning, and I was saying, I want you to use this conference to your advantage. I want you to figure out what you want. Don't just come here and hang out with your friends and coast through these sessions and, you know, kind of like blow off the day and go shopping after lunch. Mm-hmm. I want you to think right now about what you want. Because I don't buy that you don't know. And one of the things about human beings that I've learned is that we're all extraordinarily selfish. Crazy, crazy, crazy selfish. And let me give you a couple examples. Any one of you that says to yourself, okay, well, what do I want? I want to change the world. I want to make a difference. I want to help people. I want to help women. Well, that's awesome, but think about why you want to do that. The reason why you want to do that is not because you want to help. I mean, yeah, you do. But the reason why you want to do that is because it makes you feel good when you're helping. That's selfish. And it's great. The reason why it's great is because being selfish is like the best motivator you can find. I'm going to prove it to you right now. So, a couple months ago, I had a guy call into the radio show. Danielle, come on down. Danielle, you guys come down and fix this. So, we need a power cord and we need this thing on, and tell these AV people to get their asses in here. That's what you're paying them for. That's what, right? So basically, thank you for coming, by the way. Everything is recoverable. So this guy calls into the show a couple months ago and he says, "Hi, Mel, it's Mike from Oklahoma." I said, "Okay, Mike, what's the problem?" He said, "Well, I got to lose some weight." I said, "Okay, no problem. Like, how much?" He said, 50 pounds. I said, "All right, well, how much really?" He said, "All right, 65. And so, you know, we always say the thing that sounds better, right? We don't actually ever tell the truth about anything. That's part of the problem. So I said, "Okay, great. Why do you need to lose the weight?" Because there's a lot of people in the world that want to lose weight. But the difference between people who do and don't is figuring out why do you want to. And he says to me, "Well, I give blood and the doctor told me that my cholesterol is too high." And I said, "Okay, hold on a second. So you want to lose weight because you need to lower your cholesterol?" And he said, "Yeah." And I said, "Bullshit. Come on, that's not the excuse. Let's go." And he said, "What do you mean?" And I said, "Well, listen. The last time I checked, the only thing that a 25-year-old guy cares about is sex. So by my calculation, 65 pounds probably means that you grew some man boobs and now you're embarrassed to get undressed in front of the ladies, and this is affecting your dating life." "Oh, yay! Thank you! I love you!" So he kind of was quiet, and I said, "There's nothing wrong with that. Because I don't know about you, but I'm not getting on a treadmill to lower my cholesterol. But I will get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and get my butt out in the pouring rain and run for an orgasm." So it is incredibly important that when you understand what you want, that you've got the guts to also understand the selfish reason why. Because knowing isn't enough. Knowing is the booby prize. It's all about taking action. And the other one was, if you feel uncertain, you just need to pick. So for all of you people out there that are stuck in what I call the what-if loop, what if this happens, but what if that happens, but what if this happens, but what if that happens, but what if this happens, but what if that happens? It's like washing the same load of laundry all day. Your problem is you never pick anything. So it doesn't matter what you pick. We just got to get you out of here so you can get out there. So here's the question. What do you want? What do you want out of this day? If you could get the advice, the contacts, the kick in the pants that you need to get what you want, whether it's in your career, around your health, around your love life, around whatever, what is it? I want you to think about it. I'm gonna tell you what I want. So, I know, this is what you guys look like right now. You're like, "Huh? What are you talking about? What are you talking about?" So this is what I want. Well, no, I mean, I'm married. I'm not conservative political talk, but I want what he has. I could deal with that salary, right? That's what I'm talking about, right there. I want what he has. He has 600 radio stations that play him. So I want to be on midday, 12 to 2. I want to cover the hot news of the story. I want to be entertaining, but also give people the information and sneak in the advice while I'm entertaining them, so that people can get what they want. But when you admit what you want, it's embarrassing. I mean, how obnoxious can I be to stand here and say, "I want to be as big as that guy"? I mean, who the hell am I? And on top of it, it's really embarrassing when I'm sitting at my office at home and my liberal friends come over and they're like, "What the hell is Rush Limbaugh doing on your memo board?" I'm like, and you know, that's the point. Because when you admit what you want, it is embarrassing. Because here's why. You're right here. What you want is there. So what you always think about is the gap between, and you always think about how weird it would be for you to tell people that you want that, because it means that you're not happy where you are, and God knows we don't want anyone to know that. And it also means you got a lot of work to do. You need to make it embarrassing. And the reason why it's embarrassing, because it's away from you. So it is a little like, oh my gosh, geez, okay, when you think about it. And selfish. Remember the example I gave about the kid. You need to identify why the heck you want this, because it's gonna take work. And we women in particular have a very hard time putting ourselves, not necessarily first, but being selfish about what we need so that we can have what we want. And having what we want could include just a happy, stable family life. But you putting your own needs first may be the missing link to you having it. So, and if you can find a spokesperson, which I guarantee there is one, out there in the world, somebody is doing something similar to what you're interested in. Having somebody that's like up on your memo board or just in your mind, very helpful. So, you're gonna turn back to the person, and now you're gonna tell them what you want. Because here's the deal. I am tired of you all being in your heads. And if, when you listen to the person that's telling you, if it stinks, tell them, mm-mm, not big enough. No, I don't like that. Doesn't sound selfish. Mm-mm. Okay? I'm going to give you just a minute, and then we'll switch, and then you have 1 minute, and then I'm going to come back, and I'm going to explain to you the nature of change and how your brain constantly screws you over as you start to try to get this thing. You got it? Okay. Person with the longer hair, go. Okay, switch. Switch if you have not switched. Okay, great. Come back. Come back. Come back. Come back. I'd love to know. Okay, so just a couple people. So right there, what do you want? Yeah, you. You want a what? David who? Tatera? I don't know who that is. Who's that? Oh, how cool. She wants to be a celebrity wedding planner. How cool is that? All right, what about over here? You were just nodding. Yes, you. I know you. Yes. What do you want? See? She flunks. Go ahead. Wow. Okay. That's pretty good. Okay, what about you? Yes. She said, I'm going to let her read it.
Oh, sorry.
Because it was very good and she was very intent. You could tell, like, okay, she's walking out of here and going to quit as CEO of the house. Yeah, right? Okay, so here you go.
Okay. I want choice, personal freedom, balance, and control. And I want it because I want to do the things I want to do, when I want to do it, and how I want to do it, so that I have the means to buy the things I want to buy without having to ask permission.
Excellent. Excellent. I like that. I like that a lot. Okay, right here in the blue, right here. Yes, ma'am. What do you want? Okay, what does that mean? She wants to be fulfilled, and I said, what does that mean? Okay. Yep. Okay, stop. Now, what is the decision? What do you want to do? Tell me the thing you want to do, though. What career would you love to have? Fantastic. So she's going to get certified in Napoleon Hill. Keep going. Raise your hand right there. Excellent. What you need to do is find somebody that's doing it a particular way because it's too broad. you're going to get in the what if and that you're going to get stuck. So find a specific Oh, so give me a specific example so everyone can learn. What? Life? No, what I mean is a specific business that has a business structure or a branding. Okay, name it. Okay. Great. So she's starting a company called Lifeboard. Very cool. See the difference between saying something that's a little general and being more specific about it. Okay, let's get one more person in the back. Somebody just yell it. Oh my God, who's that? Stand up. Where are you? Stand up, right there. Just stand up. There she is. Okay, we got that one. Oh my gosh. Okay, so you just did step one, which nobody, once you figure out what you want, yes ma'am.
Just had it published. I've got four copies here. I'd love to sell them today.
Oh, she's got $4 she's selling. But see, do you hear that? How scary. It was kind of nerve-wracking to say that. Hold on. Hold on. That was nerve-wracking to say it, right? Good, because you're saying it more. So this is the first thing you never do. You've never, you know, you don't talk about what you want. You've got to stop that. So let me explain that getting what you want is actually really simple. Now, notice I didn't say it was easy. It's like a diet. We all know that diets work. We just don't follow them. And so there's a very simple way to get what you want. You simply follow the other people. You know, the advice is out there. Just follow other people's advice. You'll stumble your way into it. The problem is going to be this. You're never going to feel like it. It's like sex. And, you know, the thing is that this is the universal law of change. In any, and I mean any area of your life where you're not satisfied, only do the things you don't feel like doing. In the areas where you're happy, just keep going. It's working just fine. In the areas where you're not happy, I guarantee you, if you were to start doing things you don't feel like doing, you'd have everything you wanted. Think about it from a dieting perspective. Do you ever feel like going on a diet? No. Do you ever feel like eating boiled chicken and peas? No. Do you ever feel like turning off the television and going to the gym? No. If you only just did the things you didn't feel like, it would work. And the reason why, it goes back to your mind. See what, and you know, if you think about it, so this is my son. If you think about it, it makes a lot of sense because when we were kids, what did your parents do? They had to verbally abuse you until you did the things that you didn't feel like doing. Put away the DS, for crying out loud, when you're playing with the Barbies in my bathroom, put them away. We chew with your mouth closed, you guys look like barn animals, for crying out loud. And see, the thing is that when you turned 18 and moved out of the house, nobody told you you were now going to have to do that for yourself. That hard wiring that's in your kids that drives you bananas, you have it too. Only nobody's there to parent you. So if what you, if you want to get what you want in life, you're never going to feel like it, and you're going to have to bully yourself into doing the things you really don't want to. And then on top of it, you've got your mind busy being like, whoa, 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 whoa. That new idea, really bad idea. Uh-uh. First of all, you got no money, no experience, no time. There's absolutely, positively no way in hell that this is going to happen. And if you're not saying it to yourself, your husband or your kids might be. So here's the deal. I want to explain to you quickly, and then we'll take some questions, about the nature of change. So most of us believe that change is a linear thing. And it's easy to fall into that trap because if you think about it, you start off in, you know, you're born, whatever, you're home, then you go to kindergarten, you go to first grade, you go to second grade, you go to third grade, you go to fourth grade, you go to fifth grade, you know, then you're da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It's like one big line that's supposed to lead you somewhere. And change doesn't work like that. And also, I think because of technology, our minds are getting to the point where we do think it works that way. Because you can just pick up your iPod, and if you want to listen to Macy Gray, you hit music, you hit artists, you hit the song you want, boom, three steps, linear, you got it. Same with the television shows. You want to watch Monster-in-Laws? Monday nights at 10 o'clock. You know, but the thing is that if change were linear, Google would already have an application for this. You would just type in, okay, I want to go from being a student to being really successful, right? Okay, so what are the directions for this? Okay, you got to go to college, right? And then you got to get your master's, and hopefully your parents will pay for that. That would be really cool. You land that killer job. You put in a lot of FaceTime while you're updating Facebook. You get promoted to manager. You then keep climbing that corporate ladder, because that's what we do. And then you start to wonder, what? How did I end up doing this for my career? I didn't think this is what I was supposed to do. Change is more like a soccer field. So here you are in front of, you know, your goal, and what you want is at the other goal, right? So you would think it'd be as easy enough to be like, okay, great, I want to be a race car driver. I'm just going to go straight towards that. Mm-hmm, that's going to work. No, it's not going to work, because what's going to happen is life. Life is going to happen. And all those no ways, no money, no time, no experience, I'm tired, I'm overwhelmed, I don't feel like it, blah, 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 blah. It's going to stand in your way. But if you think about soccer, you have to move the ball around the field, right? You got to move it all over the place. And there are going to be times in your life where you feel 100% out of bounds. And those are those moments like Steve Jobs, where he got fired from the company he started. Where the marriage you've been in for 2 decades is disintegrating. The job you've had forever just ended. The time that you spent raising your kids is over because they're off to college, and now you got to figure out what the heck you want to do. And so those moments in life where you feel as though, my gosh, I'm so far away, I might as well give up. You know, I want you to understand something. In life, there actually aren't out of bounds. So no matter where you are in relation to race car driving or life board or, you know, some of the things that you're selling your 4 books, no matter how far away it feels, you're actually just a step away. Because, you know, like the lottery, they say, well, you never know. That's why a lot of people play. You never know. If you take just one step towards something, you'd be shocked at how momentum starts. And, you know, I also want, I want to give you kind of a sum up here. So change isn't linear. So understand that it's messy. It never feels, when you get what you want, it doesn't feel like you think it's going to, ever. The step anywhere in life is admit what you want. In any breakdown, in order to pull yourself out of an emotional cycling the drain, admit what you want. The second this thing went down, you know what I did? I said to myself, well, what do I want? I want this thing to get restored. So instead of panicking and freaking out and trying to remember my speech, I'm just going to focus on being present with you guys. I know what I want. And anybody that I see that is from the conference, I'm going to yell at them through this microphone to get them in here. So anything, if you're going into a parent-teacher conference with a parent, with a teacher that you can't stand, that you think is totally unfair to your kid, before you walk in, ask yourself, what do I want from this meeting? And what do I need to do strategically to get it? When you're walking into your boss's office to ask for a raise or to ask for a shift in responsibility, ask yourself, what do I want? When you orient yourself towards the things that you want, whether it's something 5 years from now or something right here in this moment, you will get it, because you'll be thinking strategically. Remember, you're 1 in 400 trillion. You're a smart cookie. The problem is sometimes we get too emotional. And then remember what happens when you think about what you want. You're immediately not going to feel like it. You're not going to feel like asking for what you want. You're going to feel overwhelmed. You feel tired. Oh, my boss is in a bad mood. I'm not going to ask today. It feels right. No. Figure out what you want, and then figure out the actions from there. And the more specific that you can get, the better. And remember this, you're not stupid, you're not lazy. Modern life is causing your brain to melt down. I'm serious about this. And it will do anything possible to keep you in that routine we were all laughing about. There's a reason why your life feels like Groundhog Day, that movie, where it's the same day every day. It's because your brain likes it like that. And, you know, the other thing is, you just remember, never, ever, ever going to feel you, and I'm sorry, there's no easy fix. You have to force yourself. And by force, this is a test I want you to do tomorrow morning. It's called the snooze alarm test. What you're going to do is you're going to set your alarm 30 minutes early. And when it goes off, you're going to take the covers, you're going to throw them off, you're going to swear at me, You're going to put your feet on the ground. You're going to stand up and walk across that bedroom and start your day. And the reason why I want you to do that is not because I have some agenda that you got to get up early. I want you to do it because it is a physical experience for you to come face to face with what neurologists call activation energy. Activation energy is the force required to get your mind, when it's focused on something, to go in a different direction. And trust me, when you're in a warm bed and you've been sleeping for 8 hours and you're cozy and hopefully, you know, you're with somebody you love, you do not want to get out of bed. Your mind wants to keep you there. So if you learn how to force yourself, if you have that experience where you force yourself, that is the same exact force required to force yourself off a computer to go to the gym, to force yourself to not run useless errands. I know, your whole day is filled with things that you really don't want to be doing, and that squeezes just enough time out of your day that you don't have time to work on the things that you really want to do. So I want you to do this test because it's going to allow you to come face to face with what it feels like every time you make a turn. And I also want you to experiment with what I call the 5-second rule. You're going to have game changer ideas all day long. I want to sell 4 books. I should talk to that person because she looks interesting. Oh, you know, I wanted to get that person's card. I wanted to go to this session. You're going to have those. I should really talk to that lady about the catering thing. You're going to have those kind of thoughts all day long. If you don't take physical action in 5 seconds from having the thought, your brain eats the idea. It's like Pac-Man. It does. So I call this the 5-second rule. If you have an idea, I should talk to somebody. I should give them my business card. I should walk over there and introduce myself to that lady. I should attend. You need to either send yourself an email, turn and tell somebody, write it down, or start walking. Because what that does is it grabs the idea in here, yanks it out of your head, and marries it to physical action. If you practice that today, you will 100% change the course of your life because of who you'll meet today. The other thing I want you to do is I don't want people in this conference, you should not be leaving to go shopping unless you have collected at least 21 business cards. And here's how you do it. You walk up, you say, "Hey, Terry, I'm Mel Robbins. I think you have incredible energy. I saw you in the such and such session, and I wanted to connect with you outside the session. Can I have your card? And we can see if we can help one another." You got it? Because there are people in this room that know people, that know things, that have contacts, that have advice to help you get what you want, regardless of what it is. And the hardest thing for all of us is to ask for help, to get out of our heads, and to make it happen. Because, of course, you know, this isn't coming anytime soon. All right, so the other thing is I want you to buy my book, 100%. I do. Yes. It is 2 years' worth of research. This is a snippet of what's in it. And here's the deal. I will stay, and last time it took 4 hours, to sign every one of them. And when I say sign, I don't mean my name. I will ask you what you got out of this and what it is that you need to be reminded of when you're sitting in your bedroom 2 months from now and you finally get to this book. And then you crack it open and you're like, "Ooh, oh my God, that lady's right there again."